The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Awesome. We're off to a great start, where every week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? You know, there is so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when you know that deep down, your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's just a lot of potential for anxiety, really, when you sense that your money is not aligned with your values and convictions.
That's right. And it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
It can actually be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services.
Right.
Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
Yeah, that's right. And when you're confused, you just don't make good decisions.
Mm-mm.
Right? And that can help, that really can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can actually hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, again, welcome to Money and Mission. Is this episode 5?
Episode 5.
Wow, time's flying along. And again, I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. And each week in the first part of our show, we talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
Yeah, and then partway through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler,
mm-hmm.
which I love.
Last
week was a tough one, mm-hmm. that's right, but we'll get to it here. A weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's a puzzle, and we're sharing it with you. Honestly, we don't know if the puzzle will be interesting to you. We hope it'll be interesting to you, but it is interesting to us for
mm-hmm.
sure. And but I would say, you know, to all of our listeners, you know, if you think the puzzle should kind of sound a little different, or if it should be harder, or maybe not quite as hard, just send us a note at radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. Send us a note and just say, hey, you know, make it harder. Or maybe you even have a puzzle that you'd like us to share. Just share it with us, and we'll try to get that on the show.
That's right. So let's jump into our week in review.
Oh,
James,
boy.
What did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Yeah, so these headlines keep rolling in about more and more companies going out of business.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, such and such, an iconic company, declared bankruptcy, is closing, you know, all their locations. Personal delinquencies are rising. Every week, it seems like the headlines are just rolling in. It's one thing that we really want you to take away from today's show.
That's right.
Right, that it feels like the headlines roll in, and again, as you noted earlier, there's just a lot of stuff coming at us,
mm-hmm.
right? But prudent people really try to understand the issue that's out there, and then they take steps to shore up their own financial position as, you know, as a result. Keeping in mind, of course, God owns it all. We are stewards of everything that he's given us. But in a world that sometimes feels like things are coming unglued and, you know, again, more and more companies going out of business, these problems, we want to understand that and take prudent steps.
That's right. That's so right. One thing to take away from this show is that prudent people seek to understand this problem and, like you said, take steps to shore up their own financial positions.
That's right. Yeah, we're looking at some numbers here that are truly staggering.
Whew, I see those.
Debt. These are debt numbers. It's one thing to talk about debt, but have you ever tried to wrap your head around like $35 trillion?
No. It seems impossible.
Yeah, it does. $35 trillion. That's when you look at the national debt, we're coming right up on $35 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be fun to try to wrap our heads around that and understand exactly what $35 trillion means. You did this little study, didn't you? That if you counted to $35 trillion, how long would it take?
Yeah, if the average person counted to $35 trillion, it would take 1,748,000 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So
just to get to $35 trillion.
Good thing we have calculators.
That's right. You know, I did this little math project. A dollar bill is about 6 inches long,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if there are 63,360 inches in a mile.
Okay.
Right? So that means it would take about 10,560 dollar bills laid end to end to cover a mile.
Okay.
Right? So to come up with $35 trillion, if you just kind of follow that through, it would go from here to the sun 36 times.
Wow.
Wow. That's a...
That's a far distance and a lot of trees or whatever money's made of.
That's right, yeah. And if you include unfunded liabilities,
mm-hmm.
I mean, then it's not $35 trillion. It's, what was it, like $215 trillion. Yeah. I mean, that would go from here to the sun 219 times. Wow, it's just the number is so big, it just feels like it's patently unpayable. But that's not the only big number that's out there. I saw a stat on credit card debt and other revolving type loans, and the note was that it was $1,000 billion. $1,000 billion.
$1 trillion.
Yeah, $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I had to put that in a spreadsheet, yeah. Right, and help Excel figure it out. $1,000 billion. I mean, that sounds like it should be one of our weekly radio puzzles.
Yeah.
But the number is so big. I mean, it's just huge. $1 trillion in credit card debt here in our country today.
Mm.
$1.6 trillion in student loan debt.
Mm.
Unbelievable. A study, you know, you can go out to the Federal Reserve banks that are out there. There are 12 Federal Reserve banks in our country. And it seems like they all have different jobs. They keep track of different statistics. And so the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis is a Federal Reserve Bank I like to look at a lot.
St. Louis.
And the Federal Reserve Bank of New York had a study. And in May of 2024, they reported that almost 9% of those credit card balances had reached a point of delinquency throughout the past year, right? So there's a huge amount of debt, but some of it's really coming into delinquency.
Mm-hmm.
About 8% of all automobile loans had also reached a point of delinquency throughout the year.
Yeah, and delinquency rates on credit cards and auto loans among borrowers 18 to 29 are now higher than pre-pandemic levels.
Wow.
And student loan, you were talking about student loans, that is surpassed. It's now the second largest category of consumer debt, surpassing auto loans and credit card debt.
Wow. Wow. So debt, you know, I mean, we're going to spend time digging into this debt thing
It's pervasive in all parts of our lives, our economy.
It really is.
Governmental, business, personal.
Government, business, personal. That's right. It seems unsustainable, but it just keeps burgeoning. It feels like it's burgeoning out of control, mm-hmm. right? So we have personal bankruptcies, we have corporate bankruptcies, and we know, you know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, the borrower is the servant to the lender.
Mm-hmm.
And what an interesting verse to kind of lay aside the headlines like that. We keep hearing in the headlines that we have this robust economy and the economy's growing and everything, you know, feels great like that. The market's up and so on and so forth. But then we read the borrower is the servant to the lender. And which really to me means that the more debt that's involved in the system, the more servitude we have going on. It's not like we're doing really, really well. We're just running up huge bills. Right?
And I know you talked about bankruptcies.
Mm-hmm.
Another verse in Proverbs 22 is, do not be the one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. And that passage just warns against the impulsivity taking on debt without considering the consequences.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we want to talk about that, you know, in the show here today. And Joe is kind of sitting across the table, you know, making these motions. The first week we ever did this, do you remember when Joe Nevestinsky was sitting over there doing that?
He was giving us the wrap it up signal.
That's right. And I thought what he meant was talk longer.
Give it another go.
That's
well, you're in the music industry, so I think that hand symbol means something a little different.
That's right.
Encore,
yeah.
That's
right.
Again.
That's right. If you're doing a show and somebody wants you to go keep playing, they do this little thing and you think they mean stretch it out, play it over again. And that's just not what it means here on the air.
So after the delinquencies, let's talk about some of these bankruptcies. I know this year, I heard even Dollar Tree, they have a subsidiary, Family Dollar, that a lot of us are familiar of.
That's right.
And I think at the first half of 2024, they're planning on closing 600 stores.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Planning 400 more. I mean, that's almost 1,000 stores.
That's right, over a very short period of time. Tupperware. Like we all know Tupperware.
Mm-hmm.
Tupperware announced just really recently here that they are moving their last production facility out of the United States, really as part of trying to reduce their costs so that they can restructure their debt. And I guess they're planning to do that by September of 2025.
So how does the current level of our national debt, of our overall economy, what are the potential long-term consequences of that?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, the Congressional Budget Office actually creates a report on that periodically throughout the year. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the show here today. But but if you go out to the Congressional Budget Office website, then, you know, it's a substantial report where they talk about the impact of the amount of debt on our economy. And there's a study that was done a number of years ago as well that we want to share with you as we go through the show here today.
Yeah, no, good stuff. We'll jump into that in our next segment. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking on that topic as well as the six kinds of borrowing. Stay tuned. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. And today, as we were getting this show together, we really just were impressed by the level of debt and leverage in our system. And so we're spending some time talking about that here today. It can be a confusing topic, but prudent people really seek to understand the issues and the problems that are presented by that level of leverage, and then they take steps, right, to shore up their own financial position and help to assure that they're being good stewards of everything that God's given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you are personally in debt or if you're out of debt, really, it's still important to be aware of how debt impacts literally every aspect of the world that we live in today.
That's right. And there's all kind of reasons why money is borrowed, right?
Yeah, we were talking about that just before we came over here today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is it that people borrow? And not just people, but, you know, businesses and governments. You know, why is it that people borrow? There's a host of reasons. But I think, you know, you were mentioning, oh, the possibility of, you know, a new shiny thing that I don't have currently.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying how it helps people make those moves that they're not able to make in their current position.
That's right.
It's just all too easy to pull out that piece of plastic and, mm-hmm. and obtain that new shiny thing.
That's right. That's right. And whether it's a new shiny thing or if it's some other reason in a different setting, as mm-hmm. we'll talk about here through this segment, it still is all about trying to achieve and acquire something that's a little bit beyond my current capacity to obtain. So there are six kinds of borrowing, and possibly if we really spent time thinking about it, we could break that down into other mini segments, but it's felt to us anyway that there were like six basic types of borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this discussion out there whether it's good debt or bad debt and so on. So let's see if we can unpack that a little bit as we go through the segment here. I'll just list these and then we can talk about them in turn. Right, there's borrowing that people do to invest.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses and governments borrow money. There are mortgages that are taken out, student loans, and then consumption, really, and credit card debt. But the interesting thing is that it doesn't matter what kind of borrowing it is, there's always an assumption about something in the future.
That's right. And I think the dangerous part in that is that those assumptions aren't guaranteed.
Correct. Yeah, because only God knows tomorrow.
That's right.
Right. And he doesn't always share it with, well, he usually doesn't share it with me.
Me neither. How about you, Joe? Yeah. No,
he's shaking his head. Good. It feels like we're in a good spot here. You know, we're a good company.
So sticking to these sound principles would be the best way forward then.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible does tell us as well that we should not presume the future. Don't boast about tomorrow because only God knows what's going to happen. So, but there's always an assumption that's made whenever money is borrowed. So I'll start with, I mentioned six kinds of investing or six kinds of borrowing, I should say. Investing is mm-hmm. where funds are borrowed for the purpose of making an investment and trying to increase the potential outcome of that investment.
So like margin trading, potentially real estate.
Right.
Things of that nature.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Where you assume that you're going to do well in this mm-hmm. endeavor.
That's right.
And make yourself money, that assumption.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interestingly, I mean, psychologically, from a risk standpoint, people generally do not like to think that they won't do well.
Correct.
Right. So,
or that it's out of their wheelhouse.
Or
that's bailiwick.
Right. Or
I think
bailiwick.
Is the new word that
that's
we got
right.
this week.
That's right. But a business might borrow money as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe the business borrows money to, you know, whatever, buy a new production facility, a new plant.
Mm-hmm.
Or
they need to raise cash to have a whole bunch more inventory. Maybe mm-hmm. they got to deal with a major distributor and they need to create more inventory for that.
That's right. And so they would borrow money to buy that inventory in anticipation of being able to sell it quickly to whoever the new deal is that they're working on. A business might have a line of credit with a financial institution, or they may issue bonds. So there's different types of debt like that that businesses issue.
It can be risky. You know, the leading cause of business bankruptcy is debt, along with poor management, cash flow problems, and economic downturns. But carrying large debt is one of the indicators.
That's right. Now, if the project works out,
mm-hmm.
then the result is very positive. But the risk is always there. So whenever debt takes place, there's always that possibility for either a better or worse outcome. It magnifies the outcomes like that. And so the debate rages on, right? Is debt good or bad? Well, what's another kind of borrowing sometimes that we see out there, mortgages. And
folks buying homes, that's a very common one.
That's right. And what's the assumption? I mean, the assumption there is that whatever property is being purchased will continue to deliver X, Y, or Z, whatever the expectations are. It'll continue to deliver that and to fulfill those expectations over a long period of time.
And
usually,
it seems to be one of the more, allowed forms of carrying debt. People need a place to live.
That's right.
Getting a lower mortgage, small percentage. I mean, you do what you can in that environment. You can't just live on the street because you're broke, I guess.
That's right. And many economists really encourage mortgage debt, because when people buy homes, then
the price appreciates.
Well, they have to spend money on all the different things that it takes to maintain the home, right? Buy things to repair the house.
So that all goes back into the economy.
It all goes back into the economy. That's right. So, but it does create an enormous risk factor in the economy as well. And true, as you said, that sometimes the more demand there is for property, then it causes price to appreciate as well. So these are reasons, but it doesn't take away the fact that the borrower is the servant to the lender, right? And so we end up, with an economy that is driven by debt, and debt is just built into so many different aspects of the economy that we have. But what about student debt, student loan debt?
Yeah.
What's the assumption there?
Well, the assumption there is that you're taking on debt, but you are investing in yourself, that you will get a better job and make a greater income than you would without your education, and you'd be able to pay off that debt and live comfortably.
That's right.
That I would say that's most folks' assumptions.
That is the assumption. And, well, I guess we really don't have time to talk about all the possible degrees that people could get where that just didn't work out.
That's why I chose to go in the Army and had the GI Bill paid for it.
I didn't
want to carry any debt.
That's right, Joe. Joe's raising his hand as well. Yeah. So we come to, like, consumption debt then. And this is where we know that debt just really sometimes becomes destructive, because
a lot of irresponsible behavior in this category.
That's right. Borrowing for things that just depreciate in value, like appliances and recreational vehicles, automobile loans. I mean, cars and automobiles just deteriorate in value. And if you've borrowed money for that, it's a double whammy in terms of actually building any wealth over a period of time.
That's right.
Borrowing to go on vacation.
I'm big on vacations. I love making memories, but you just can't do it on debt.
That's right.
You got to have a plan.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love vacations, but have a plan. And there is so much to be gained as well in learning how to vacation and enjoy things that maybe cost less and living a simple lifestyle.
And there's much vacations we can take in our backyards. A lot of culture and heritage right here. You don't have to be world travelers.
That's
to
right.
Take trips.
And even building in, like, service projects to vacations.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, volunteering at a camp, a church camp, is sometimes a great way to enjoy time away and time off. But
it doesn't
involve a lot of spending, and
it'll make you feel good, too.
And make you feel good, because you actually have been helping to accomplish, something else. So credit card debt, of course, this is not really a type of borrowing. It's a form of borrowing and a type of financial institution. And I think we're almost out of time here. We do want to get to that weekly radio puzzle.
Yes, let's do it.
Do we have enough time in this segment to hit that?
We do. Let's take care of the puzzle.
Yeah, so last week's puzzle, I was waiting all week to do this. The question was, if it takes a chicken and a half, a day and a half, to lay an egg and a half, how many eggs will 7 chickens lay in 6 days?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. And the answer is?
Well, I looked for the answer first.
Uh-oh.
And I seen that there is many people with many different opinions
many
on this.
Many different opinions. Are you telling me it was a bad question?
I would say that there's debate.
There's debate. It's like good debt or bad debt, right?
That's
this
right.
is a horrible question. Well, the answer is 28.
Okay.
Right.
28.
Yeah. It's really a question about normalizing the denominator.
Mm.
And so it's a ratio of chicken and eggs where 1.5 equals 1.5 divided by 1.5 equals 1. And so you have 1.5 chickens laying 4 eggs, possibly, but you have 7 chickens. And so 7 times 4 is 28.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember when my math came out too, but I think it was a lot different. Did you even try it, Joe? Or?
No, I didn't.
No.
Well, we'll have to remember when we give out homework, we'll try to make it a little simpler. Moving along. This week's puzzle.
On to this week's puzzle.
This week's puzzle is a little simpler. But if you have something to write with here, write this down. What kind of cow hands out money and says moo?
What kind of cow hands out money and says moo?
Moo, that's right.
I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah. All right, send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. We'll read the correct answer to this puzzle on next week's show. But I think we're almost at a spot where we have to take another break.
That's right. Yes, we're going to take a quick break right now. Stay tuned. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we talk every week about wealth management from a biblical perspective and building on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I'm Eric.
And it's so good to be back here with you again. And a great big shout out. Thanks so much, Joe, for the time that you put in and helping to record and really turn our little conversation here into something worth listening to.
We appreciate that, Joe.
Yeah,
Thank you. We
appreciate that so much. Well, we've been talking about the enormous amount of debt and leverage in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
And while
scary.
It is scary. Yeah, there's so many moving parts. It's, as we said earlier, it's easy to get confused and possibly even scared by that, but prudent people really seek to understand the issues and then take steps to shore up their own financial situations, not just for themselves, but even, you know, we're stewards of everything that God's given us, and so we want to be good stewards in the middle of a situation that maybe is not the best. But let's just take a few minutes to talk about exactly how debt could impact outcomes, and let's kind of use a little hypothetical example.
And this is in the investing category, right? So there's 6 reasons for borrowing, and this little example you have has to deal with the investment.
It does. That's right. And so we're going to get into the weeds here. So bear with us. Maybe if you have a piece of paper to write this down, you can kind of track along through with what we're illustrating here. So let's begin with this hypothetical example and say that you have $1,000.
$1,000.
Right, $1,000, and you have gone to invest that $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
In the scenario as we're starting with here, there is no debt. So it's just your $1,000.
Okay.
So you set up an account, whatever, and your statement shows $1,000. So let's pretend that your investment does really, really well, and it doubles in value.
So now I have $2,000.
Now you have $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You don't owe any money to anyone, maybe in taxes, right? Okay. All right. But that's, we won't go down any tangents here. Your $1,000 turned into $2,000, right? So
the unavoidable factor.
That's right. Yeah. The only thing certain, right? Yep. Death and taxes. So, but there it is. You did well in your investment. You don't owe anything to anyone. So the $1,000 that you made is yours, free and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now let's take that same situation though and pretend that you did borrow some money. So
I have my $1,000.
Your $1,000.
And then I borrow, let's say, another $1,000.
Another $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's borrow $1,000 from Joe.
Okay.
You loan us, are you good for $1,000, Joe?
I'm good for it, Joe.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Joe's good.
You're good, you'll back me up, right?
That's absolutely. I won't leave you hanging.
All right. So we started with $1,000, and that was our money, and we borrowed $1,000 from Joe. So now there's $2,000 invested.
Okay.
And so let's take the same scenario and say that the investment did really, really well again, and it doubled in value.
Ooh, okay. Wow. So now I have $4,000.
$4,000.
And I only put $1,000 in.
And you only put $1,000 in.
Well, that sounds great.
It does. That's incredible. Wow. I started with $1,000
again. Thanks,
four.
Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
That's right.
But Joe's, I can see him coming around. Hey, you
he
know.
He wants his $1,000 back.
He wants his $1,000 back. That's mm-hmm. right, which is what happens when you borrow money. Remember, the borrower is the servant to the lender. So Joe's got his hand out. He wants his $1,000 back.
Mm-hmm.
So now my $4,000 becomes
$3,000 after I pay him back.
That's right, because mm-hmm. I had to give the money back to Joe. So, but still, I started with $1,000, and now I have $3,000.
So I still tripled my money, right?
I tripled my money. I did better than if I hadn't borrowed the money at all.
Yeah, that sounds right. Great.
Now, Joe probably wants some interest.
Sure.
Okay, that complicates our example a little bit.
And I'll make good with Joe.
You'll make good with that.
That's
right.
Right.
That's right. Joe's good for that. So, all right. So let's reverse that situation then a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll dial back to the original $1,000.
Just my $1,000.
Just our $1,000, that's right. But this time, the investment doesn't go so well.
Mm.
So this time, you lose half of your money.
So I only have $500.
Yeah, only $500.
Oh, boy.
That's right. But still, remember, in this case...
Joe still wants his $1,000.
Well, no, Joe. Joe's not in on this
that's
one.
Right. That's yeah, right. This is just my $1,000.
Just your $1,000. That's mm-hmm. right. Joe's over there saying, glad he didn't do that with my $1,000.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a bad deal.
So you're not happy with the loss.
No.
I mean, nobody's happy with the loss,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's half my money.
That's right. But if it's just your money, then you don't owe anyone anything on it.
No.
You take your $500 loss and you move on.
That's right.
And hopefully you learn something from the experience,
mm-hmm.
right? What not to do and so on and so forth. But let's pretend that we still have that same loss scenario going on, but you did borrow money.
Hmm. So my $1,000.
Start with $1,000 again.
And Joe, can I borrow $1,000?
It worked out pretty well the first time.
So, all right, let's go for it.
All right, let's do it again.
That's right. So Joe's. So now we've got our $1,000, and we've got Joe's $1,000, and so we're starting with two.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 50% loss.
Oof.
Again.
So now I'm down to $1,000.
That's right.
That's my $1,000.
Well, Joe's coming around. He wants his $1,000 back.
Oh, so now that just leaves the money that I owe to Joe.
That's right.
Ouch.
So you pay Joe back, and what happens to your investment?
That was 100% loss.
You've lost all of it.
That was all my money.
That was all. 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. So
doesn't sound so good anymore.
Does not sound good.
On this side of that coin.
That's right. The risk factor is magnified whenever there is debt.
Mm.
Right, and as long as the whole project keeps working out, and the money doesn't have to get paid back, you know, the good feelings are there and the good times are rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But when the money has to start getting paid back, then it's like the chickens coming home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chicken and a half.
Unless it's James's weekly puzzler, then it could be.
That's right. If it's a weekly puzzler, then it could be. But you see how debt works like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even...
So it's exponential gains and exponential losses.
That's right.
Hmm.
That's right. So, you know, in a world where you can... should never say always and never say never. I mean, you can say confidently that when debt gets involved in the picture, that the outcomes are magnified.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I can see that.
And it doesn't matter if they're small outcomes or big outcomes, they're magnified both directions. So that becomes significant. That becomes significant. And this is a hypothetical example, but remember, a bit earlier today, we were talking about some really, really big numbers.
$35 trillion, $215 trillion, yeah. With a T, folks.
That's right. And the question becomes, you know, what happens to the risk factors in an economy and an investment landscape when you have all that leverage?
It's magnified.
It is magnified many times over. So if this was just hypothetical, this would kind of be, it would be an interesting hypothetical, right? But what happens in real life when this happens? I'm actually looking, remember last week we were talking about mutual funds.
That's correct.
And we talked about prospectuses.
Mm-hmm.
So we should do a quiz. It'd be so nice if we could like poll people and say, hey, remember what a prospectus is?
Mm-hmm.
Like by a show of hands, how many people?
Real-time polling.
Real-time yeah. polling, that's right. I'm looking at a prospectus here. And so remember, a prospectus is about an investment company that is pursuing an investment plan and a certain type of portfolio. And I'm reading here from the prospectus. Under our charter, the maximum amount of indebtedness we may take on should not exceed 300% of our net assets at the date of the borrowing.
Hmm.
That's in a fund.
So they're just admitting to the public that they're willing to take on up to three times their net assets.
That's right.
Hmm.
And the example that we just shared here was one times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Imagine what kind of risk is present if there is a fund that is taking on three times their assets in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big magnification.
That's right. So, you know, it's important to know. I mean, on a personal level, we say it's so important to manage and minimize the amount of debt that we have. But we have to be aware of this dynamic in our investments as well. And we say this all the time, right? Money is a tool. Money is a test. It's a testimony. But prudent people really should be seeking to understand where there's debt and where there's leverage and how that plays out and the impact that it has, not only, you know, in their planning, in their investments, and so on and so forth.
Well, let's go back to that question about how does our current level of national debt, what are the potential long-term consequences of that?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. And, you know, some economists would probably say that it really doesn't matter because, you know, most of the national debt we owe to ourselves and so on. But there was actually a Dr. Carmen Reinhardt and Kenneth Rogoff, I believe they were PhDs, did some kind of statistical studies, but they were studying this whole thing of the impact of national debt. And what they said really was that if there is not very much debt in a system, then if the government borrows a dollar, it creates a lot of economic activity,
mm-hmm.
right? The dollar gets spent, the next person spends it, the next person spends it, it works its way around.
Kind of like your house scenario earlier where they loan that out, but, you know, it goes right back to the economy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But the more debt that the government takes on, the harder and harder it is, because there's interest to pay and so on and so forth, the harder and harder it is for that extra dollar that's borrowed to actually have the same impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is that when we get to about 95%, where government borrowing equals about 95% of all economic activity in the country, then we start really running into issues.
Fascinating. Well, we're all out of time in this segment. We'll be back after the break to talk about debt principles and how that relates to your investments. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I am Eric.
And it's good to be with you here again this week. We're getting to know Joe sitting over there. And if you, next time you see Joe, if you're out and around, make sure you thank him for all that he's doing over here at the station. Mm-hmm. So we took the last segment out talking about the impact of national debt on an economy.
That's right.
And certainly there's a lot of debate on that topic, but we were referencing a study that was done by Carmen Reinhart and Ken Rogoff a number of years ago, in which, you know, they said, suppose you start with an economy that doesn't have any debt or not very much, and the government doesn't have any debt. If the government spends a dollar, then as that dollar works its way through the economy, it actually creates activity. Mm-hmm. So the government may do a job with you, Eric, and then, you know, you take the dollar of income and you go out to eat, and the waitress then spends the dollar on a taxi cab to go home, and so on and so forth. And the dollar works its way around through, which is something that economists call velocity, the amount of time that it takes a dollar to go through an economy. But if that dollar gets paid back, then of course the debt is paid off and there was economic growth as a result. But when you start to have more and more and more debt, then there's interest to pay on the debt, and that starts mitigating or reducing the effectiveness of every new dollar that's borrowed. And the study that Reinhart and Rogoff completed really concluded that once you get to about 95% debt, so if the government debt equals about 95% of the gross domestic product of the country, then really debt becomes harmful to the economy. And that's kind of right about where we're at right now. So, but I know we were talking about the difference between debt that's funded, right, and debt that's not funded.
Correct. Yep. Unfunded liabilities.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a kind of a topic that gets a little complex, but basically if you have a liability out there, a debt that you owe, and you don't have any money in the bank to back it up, then you have an unfunded debt.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the significance of unfunded liabilities lies in the potential financial burden they pose.
That's right.
Without being backed up by anything, that could throw you in pieces.
That's right. So if the assumption of paying back the debt is, well, you know, I'm going to earn income.
Mm-hmm. Like I'll have enough coming in to be able to cover it.
Right. Or if you're a business, you know, I'll have receipts coming in, I'll be doing business. Or like if you're a government agency, then maybe you're banking on taxes, a certain level of taxes coming in.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the burden that poses for the governments, like you say, that could lead to budget deficits, tax increases, cuts in services.
That's right.
Has a trickle-down effect on the citizens.
That's right. All because the debt is not funded. Mm-hmm. That's right. On a personal level, when if people carry unfunded debt, then when they run into problems, it cuts into their life. And it actually cuts down on what they can do. It adds a lot of worry to their life. And so unfunded liabilities like that have a risk of being a real, real problem all throughout. Businesses can get put out of business really easily just because of that dynamic. But, you know, some great examples of unfunded liabilities, if you visit the U.S. Treasury website, treasury.gov, you can poke around and find that the Treasury defines Social Security, for example, and Medicare obligations as unfunded liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Which just means that they're banking on tax revenues in the future to help pay for those programs. We know state pensions and municipal pensions sometimes have funding issues. And so potentially those are examples of unfunded liabilities as well.
And the same with those in the corporate world, the corporate pensions, retiree health benefits, and even product warranties. When they offer warranties on their products, they have the liability to repair or replace those defective items.
That's right.
And the cost of warranty claims exceed the reserves set aside, it results in unfunded liability.
Unfunded liabilities. That's right. So this whole thing of debt and whether or not the ability is there to actually pay for the debt, it really doesn't matter what type of debt, what size of debt, who has it, or anything. There are principles related to debt that are applicable in really all circumstances, don't you think?
I do. And to bring in another verse from the book of Romans, it says, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law."
Mm.
And I like that because it emphasizes the importance of love and encourages, you know, financial responsibility and resolving their debts promptly.
That's right. That's right. But certainly when, you know, when people keep themselves in a position where they're able to not be burdened by debt, especially debt that can't be paid, and then they keep themselves free mm-hmm. to be all that God wants them to be, mm-hmm. right? And we think that's so, so important.
And allows them to be generous.
And
wants us to be have generosity.
That's exactly right. You know, in a couple of weeks, I think we're going to be having a guest on the show that talks about who is going to talk about generosity. But mm-hmm. that's a topic for a different time. Some of the principles, again, of debt, the borrower is the servant to the lender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just know all that that means is that if you have debt out there, you owe it back. And the person who loaned it to you has a right to come and ask for you to pay it back.
Like Joe.
That's right.
You guys.
It's a rough show today, right, Joe?
No respect, I guess.
That's exactly right. But, you know, whether it's, quote, good debt or bad debt, still the debt has to be paid back. If it's expensive debt or cheap debt, it's still owed back.
And whether or not that business venture worked out or not.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So an increase in borrowing does not automatically mean an increase in prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
But again, debt always makes an assumption about the future, which is kind of a second principle. And we really have to be careful, again, of what assumptions are being made about the future. Again, only God knows the future. So if we're taking on debt, assuming that X, Y, or Z is going to happen, you know, we're kind of taking one step out of, and we're moving into a spot where we really just don't know what may happen in the future.
So be responsible, curb your expectations.
That's right. Yeah, Proverbs 27 tells us don't boast about tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. And we already said this, debt magnifies results. If results are good, then the results are better because of debt. And if the results are bad, then debt makes those results even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an increase in risk. And we could probably talk about a few other principles as well, but there's a short list and I think some pretty key points for our listeners to really focus in on.
And, you know, the biblical principle of contentment. Mm. The Bible encourages contentment mm-hmm. with what one has rather than constantly striving for more material possessions that could lead to debt.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we said that debt shows up in so many different places, and I think we've said a couple of times in this show that a prudent person really seeks to understand the potential problems and then takes steps to shore up their own financial situation. And when we have investments, really, we need to understand what's in the investments that we own.
That's right. Like we've said on the other shows, we tried to align our values with the value in our portfolio.
That's exactly right.
Try to bridge that gap.
That's right. So let's say that, you know, you really are taking this debt issue to heart and you discover that maybe you do own a portfolio where there's some leverage in the portfolio. Well, one way of seeking to align your portfolio would be to try to find ways to bring that debt level down. So that the portfolio is more in line with your values. Lining up your portfolio with your values or lining up any investment with your values still does not guarantee that you're going to make money.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And it doesn't mm-hmm. it doesn't ever promise you that you're never going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Every investment, it doesn't matter what kind of investment it is, every investment involves risk.
And it would seem a little backwards if someone was very against carrying debt, but then inside their portfolio, they were all highly leveraged companies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And but that happens, right? I mean, we see that happen. We've seen people bring in statements and so on where the, you know, they share that with us, and they just didn't know what was in their portfolios. So it's so important. It is work to stay on top of investments and to really be able to research like that, but it's so important. Well, as we wind down our show here today, we just wanted to offer a couple of, they feel like pretty straightforward solutions, but this problem of debt is so much bigger than we are. And at one level, you know, being responsible at an individual and maybe a level of an individual business, being responsible at that level is not going to fix, you know, the systemic problems that are out there. But that should not be a reason to keep us from doing the right thing.
That's correct.
That's right. So it is so important at the risk of redundancy to say, spend less than you earn, right? Make sure that you're living inside of your means.
And if you're an individual, spend less than you earn.
That's right. And if you're a business,
spend less than you earn.
That's exactly right. Look for ways to build biblical principles into your business plan and your day-to-day business operations, but spend less than you earn. When you spend less than you earn, you have margin, and that leaves you with room to invest for the future.
And to be generous with.
And to be generous.
But like we tell folks, no margin, no mission.
No margin, no mission. That's exactly right. So do you think, I mean, that applies to governments as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I'll tell a quick story. I was at a budget meeting in my small local town, and the people were standing up one at a time. The culverts are going bad. The signs are down. And the guy at the board, he stood up and said, folks, we only have 140 taxpaying individuals and only 60% paid. Where's this money coming from?
Yeah. So it doesn't matter where you are. This whole idea of living inside of your means positions you well to minimize the amount of debt that you have. And I just heard the timer go. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, but the one big thing
folks
to remember.
That's right, is that prudent people seek to understand those issues and position themselves to shore up their financial position.
Well, that's all of our time for today. Thank you for joining us. Remember to send your answers to this week's puzzle to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.